and for me and all those who would come to know him. And that's the story WMU wants to share in so many ways. Oh, I like that hallelujah back there. You can do that again. He will. That's good. That's good. I know Brenda has shared, and the other ladies have shared so much about what WMU means to you and what you've done here on behalf of Women's Missionary Union, on behalf of God. And that's the only reason we're doing what we do. The only reason. It's not for self-glorification or for somebody to say, oh, you did such and such, or you are such and such. It's not that at all. Not that at all. Our focus on WMU is a focus on God and how he's called women and men to work in his kingdom's work. WMU is a holistic discipleship. I know that we've done a lot, but there's a lot to be done. We live in a different world than the one Annie Armstrong and Lottie Moon lived in. Now the world gets its entertainment and they're satisfied, especially here in the States. I want to share a little bit about what's happening around the world. Have any of you read the book, The Insanity of God? Okay. I saw that title and I thought, my God's not crazy. What do they mean, insanity of God? We're going to talk just a little bit about that. Holistic discipleship. That is not just preaching and teaching. That is sharing the real love of Jesus by doing things to help people that make them say, why are you doing this? You're in a heap of trouble because you're doing this. And then we get to share with them why we do this. It's because we're sharing God's love and who he is with them. Consider Emily. Emily enjoyed Mission Friends, Girls in Action, or GAs, and then ACT Teens, where she became more responsible as teenage girls learn how to be mission leaders themselves, and they start taking on the challenge of doing the program and helping plan the outreaches that they're doing. She went on to be a BYW president. She started Baptist Young Women in our church, and then went to college at Wingate. And after that, she became a school teacher and got the award for that they give sometimes in some counties for the elect new teacher of the year, the exceptional new teacher of the year. She got that kind of award. Well, she ended up marrying the preacher's son. And the preacher's son took a little longer to hear God on this, but she'd heard a long time ago in GAs that God wanted her to be a missionary. So now they have served God in Turkey and in Indonesia and now are in Thailand, where Steve is an administrator of some sort in Thailand right now. Emily's my niece, and I'm so proud that she heard God calling her through GAs. I am really, really pleased and honored to be her aunt. WMU believes and promotes missional living. Missions is not a trip. Missions is a lifestyle. Everywhere you go, to the grocery store, to the gas station, or to the doctor's office, you will find ways to start a gospel conversation. And you will be able to share something with somebody in a moment whenever they can hear. Maybe they're listening when they wouldn't be listening, even if they were in a church service sometimes. Sometimes people turn the speaker off in a church. But sometimes we just end up meeting people where they are. And that's a missional living. That's missional lifestyle. We're on mission all the time. I think every church member should remember that when they go out the church doors, it should say right yonder, entering a mission field. I tried to get them to put one of those signs up in my church. They haven't done it yet, but we ought to. We ought to at least remember you're entering a mission field. I'm overwhelmed to read about how God is working in places around the world as he is helping people who are in persecuted situations. I don't understand how it is that God brings us low sometimes to bring us high. Does that make sense? That's what they're talking about when they say the insanity of God. Written by missionary Nick and Ruth Ripkin. You will get to hear Ruth, but not Nick, if you get to go to Mission Extravaganza. Richard likes to go with me. He said a long time ago when there was a little quarreling in the convention, he said, I'd rather go to mission extravaganza than anything else because y'all don't fuss and you get the work done. Isn't that what it's supposed to be about, getting the work done? Well, she is going to share with us. They wrote the book, The Insanity of God, and she is going to be speaking for the both of them at Mission Extravaganza. Consider this recent report in the news that you've heard about Aleppo and the terrorist in Aleppo, and they have just torn that city apart. But you know that Christians, many Christians have decided to stay there and help rebuild that city because they want the rebuilding to have a Christian presence. A Christian presence. They don't want that to be stamped out even if the buildings are gone. They want to be there and help reinstate the Christian presence there. Consider Gertrude, a missionary family. The Langstons were witnessing in the village of Fishing Camp, Zambia, when their translator proclaimed, "I want to follow Jesus." Their translator now, not the ones they're talking to, but through her, "I want to follow Jesus." Since then, 17 women have made the statement they wanted to follow Jesus, and they go with Gertrude to her home, come to her home, as Gertrude's listening to Jesus being explained through the missionary there. God is doing a mighty work in Madagascar. I was so proud when I learned how to say that. And the Mahafali people, can you say that? Mahafali people there. There is a gospel explosion there because missionaries are working in a hard place. It's not an easy place. It's one of the largest islands. It's right off the west coast of Africa. If you're looking at Africa, it's over here. Over here. Like over there. Okay. God calls us to be faithful in our giving. While we might have wondered since our Lottie Moon Christmas offerings had gone up every year, we don't go back. It goes up every year. And then yet, last year, or year before last now, our IMB president had to say, "We're going to have to let some of you retire early because we've been running in the red for 4 years. We can't keep on doing that." How many of y'all can keep your household up if you keep running into the red every year? Your expenses have gone up. So IMB's expenses have gone up. Even though our offerings have gone up, it's not gone up in proportion. And so we had to let some retire. There were about 150 that retired from the IMB offices around the world and in Richmond. And there were something like 800 that retired from the different mission fields. So we pray that they're wonderful people. And we have prayed, and you'll continue to pray. I'm sorry that's making a poofing sound. But we continue to pray that those wonderful people coming back here in the States are going to find a church. And the churches need pastors. And that's a wonderful way to get a new pastor is call a missionary because they're good ones. In fact, Amy Boone and her husband had already retired early because he caught malaria in South Africa so often that his health was compromised. And they had to come home early. They've been home for a few years. And in fact, she was working for the WMU office in Birmingham. And they found out we were looking for somebody. She applied for our position and was awarded their position. So she is now our executive director. And he's been called to be an associate pastor at a church out from Raleigh. So they're both situated here and doing a work for the Lord here. And God is using their experiences and share and call people to Jesus. So you don't retire. I hear people say, "Well, missionaries so-and-so is retired." I said, "You don't retire. You just retread." Y'all heard of that? Retread. I retired from Wingate a few years back. People say, "Well, I guess you got a lot of leisure time." I said, "Uh-uh. I'm busier now than ever before. There's a lot to be done, and I'm not going to retire till I die. God takes me home, I'm retired." That's what Billy Graham said a long time ago, and I agree with him in that one. Consider Jungle Jen. Have y'all ever heard of her? Jungle Jen. Jennifer's her name. She's from North Carolina, and as a GA, God called her to missions. She had to wait until she got grown up and gone to college before she could be appointed as a journeyman. Y'all know what a journeyman is, don't you? Okay, 2 years international. Same thing happened to one of our young men that grew up in our church, went to Wingate, and he told me one night he was the best RA leader we ever had. And I sent him away because he said one night, said, I know, I'm a journalist. I write for a paper, and that's what I prepared for in college at Wingate, but I don't feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be. I said, well, Danny, have you ever heard of the journeyman program? And he said, no. And I said, Lord have mercy, you leading my RAs and you hadn't heard of the journeyman program. So I told him about it and got him a paper on it. And in 2 months, he was taking his training at the Richmond Training Center. That's the way it's supposed to be. If God's stirred your heart and you're not where you're supposed to be, seek him out. He'll tell you where you're supposed to be. He met his future bride who went off as a journeyman to Ecuador. And then when they came back after 2 years, they got married and went to seminary. And now they have served in Wisconsin, in Turkey, in Russia, and now they're in Jordan. See how God uses them in Jordan. And he's writing a paper that sneaks Jesus into it. Writes a travel magazine. Can you imagine? That's his training. And he writes a travel magazine that sneaks Jesus into it. Jungle Gin, though. You got to know something about Jungle Gin. 20 years after she learned about Jesus and mission work in GAs, she found herself living in Brazil in the jungle. She had to go up the Amazon River for 3 days. She made her home among the Amazonian M community, and she lived without electricity, slept in a hammock, bathed in the river, dined on turtle head. I can eat oyster soup real good, but I don't know if I could eat turtle head soup or not. But she cared for, she adopted a little monkey. She calls him Nico, and all of that because God gave her a heart for reaching people in the depths of the jungle. I can't imagine sleeping in a hammock and turning over and falling out, and you know, but that's been her life. For 2 years as a journeyman. Okay, at the end of that time, she came home, and she'd already graduated from, I think it was Gardner Webb, but she came home and went to Wingate. I keep mentioning Wingate, don't I? Went to Wingate and got her teaching degree, and then she went back and forth. She'd stay a while in the Amazon. She started a program called Stand Out Ministries. Stand Out Ministries. Check it out on the website. Stand Out Ministries. And through this ministry and the power of God, she started more churches, distributed over 1,000 Bibles to the unreached, and made many more disciples in the Amazon River area, ministering and planting churches. She left some men and women in charge, and they've grown and grown. I could go on and on and on about what God's doing among the world people with missionaries. But here in the States, WMU started about 30 years ago something called Project Help. We started it with HIV/AIDS awareness. And then we'd do that for a year, and then we'd change it to something else. And we decided about the time I was president that things were too important to spend a year learning about it and suddenly you jump onto something else. And so we spent 2 years studying it the first year, and then seeing what needs to be done, what we can do to help the next year. So we have done restorative justice ministry. We have done with an emphasis on hunger, emphasis on homelessness, emphasis on human exploitation. It seems like after we started opening up the pain that's in human exploitation, all of a sudden it's all over the news. And it's not going away, but we have got to keep our eyes open. True story. This lady heard, when we first started emphasizing the awareness that we need to have, this grandma was at her WMU meeting, or Baptist Women's meeting, and heard about it. And she was telling her grandson, who was a policeman in her town, about it. And he said, you know, y'all will probably see a booger behind every bush now. Richard said, I did. I'd see an older man with a young girl, and I'm thinking, what are you up to with her? Well, she said, nevertheless, I'm going to start paying attention. She was washing dishes a day or two later and noticed that a trailer had been pulled out in the back part of the lot where her house was. She kept seeing men go and come, go and come. She called the police, and her son and some others came out to check on it, and was a woman in slavery there in that trailer. And she said, see there? You just got to have your eyes wide open. I know my time is up, but I got to share another thing or two with you. May I do that, Brenda? We promote missions awareness. We promote so many things that we need to know about through publications, but sometimes it has to be through the Triad Ladder of Hope that ministries in Charlotte. There is the Triad Ladder of Hope that's in High Point. That woman has had her, what's her name? I can't think right now what her name is, but she's had, she's in cahoots with the FBI, and she's had a price put on her head by the bad guys before, but it had not stopped her from trying to get women out of the sex trade. She's still in it, and she's getting older, and her health is going bad. Well, a friend of mine that was one of my ACT teens on my ACT teens council years ago worked with the social services here in Monroe. She was sent out to, and y'all know about this one, so you see when a social service, hand go up when you remember the story. But she was, it was brought to a social services attention that there were something going on out at the this house out in Union County, and she was sent out to that address. When she drove up in the yard, the curtain started going, it was pulled up like this, and it got closed. She went and knocked on the door. This pitiful-looking little girl came to the door, and she just knew something wasn't right at that house. Well, she did talk with her as much as she could. But long and the short of this is that Miss Meacham, Tanya Meacham, helped the social services break up servitude of three little Indian girls. Her heart was so broken over the fact that they'd been in slavery to that woman. They barely were fed. They got worse food than the hogs that they had to feed. And she'd cut their hair real close to the side on one side, and it'd be long on the other, so they'd look like they were mad girls. Didn't have right minds is what I mean. If they happened to escape, nobody'd believe them, she told them. Their parents, two parents, had given those girls to this woman. Her heart was so broken over that Tanya quit her job and adopted them. And now one of those girls, they're all, one went to Johnson and Wales School when she graduated from high school. They had found a book, by the way, I'm interrupting myself, they'd found a book, the Bible, and they'd read it, taught themselves a lot. Just the three of them. One was 18 or 19 and didn't need to be adopted, but she took her too. Two of them were sisters, one of them wasn't. They'd just been given by two different mothers to her. Well, long story short, Tanya adopted them. They within no time at all, had come to the top of the cream of the crop in Anson County Schools where the mom and daddy lived. This mom and daddy lived. And one is a graduate of Johnson and Wales. One is a graduate, I think she went to High Point College. And she works with, get this now, restorative justice. She knows what it's like firsthand. She sings beautifully. One of them sings like an angel. And they are making a difference in God's world. I can't remember what the other one does. I think she's a teacher. But they were thrown away. And this girl cared enough to even quit her job. And they had three boys. She already had three boys, and she's bringing three girls into her home. I'm not sure I could have done that, but she did. We need to be faithful in our telling about Jesus. We need to be faithful to continue to teach kids, because we can lose a generation easily by not teaching them missions. Let's continue that. Richard and I are members of a small Baptist church in Anson County. We're not as large as you guys are here, but we've got three career missionaries that grew up in our church. And we're really, really thankful that we've had a strong Baptist Men and WMU program. I appreciate Baptist Men. I'm asking you all to consider helping us with Missions Carolina this year. We're going to start May Memorial Day weekend, the end of May, and go through that week. This time our work will be for us instead of for another group out there that we've usually worked with. This time we need to upgrade Mundo Vista. And so we're going to be working on Mundo Vista that week, and we'd love to have any and all of you join us. I thank you for letting me share with you. I want to leave you with one statement. We've heard it said, I'm afraid if I respond to the missionary call, God will send me to Africa. You ever heard people say that? I don't want to go to Africa. But there is an old saying, if we know, we pray. If we pray, we give. If we give, we go. Remember, missions is not a trip. It is a lifestyle. We're always on mission. Women's Missionary Union is all about missional living. Our permanent watchword is we are co-laborers together with God. That's 1 Corinthians 3:9. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you this morning. And again, I apologize for being late, but I didn't get a ticket. Thank God.